It's getting better. And this morning when I was praying for him, I was just reminded that God is, in His love and mercy, He does show us new things every day, right? That's what His Word says, that He gives us new things every morning. And today I was coming and I'm thinking, I know I'm tired of telling him this, but I have to tell him again. But I was just reminded of that, that God has a new promise, has a new thing, has a new surprise for us every morning. And on Sunday, it's always a new surprise to have you lead. And we're so blessed and privileged by you, and we love you. And we'll be, as a church, always praying for you. Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Good. Before we dismiss the children, we dismiss them first?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's pray and dismiss the children so they can go to their lovely classes. Gracie, you want to stay?
No.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much because you are able to do everything, Lord. You are able to do more than what we think or imagine. You are able to change us. You are able to, Lord, to reform our life, transform our lives, Lord. I pray for everyone who's in this room or on their way, Lord, from young to old, Lord. It doesn't matter. You know how to speak to all of us. You know how to reach every one of us. And I pray today that you reach, Lord, with your love and mercy, and capture our hearts. Capture our eyes today with your beauty. Capture our thoughts, Lord, to be matching to yours, Lord. We love you so much, and we're so thankful for this opportunity to come and learn from you and hear your voice. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Have fun.
Bye.
What I want to share with you guys today, a story I really tried to get out of. I tried to share something different, but it kept coming to me. I even tried to not speak today, but it's always an honor to speak, and it's always always an honor to share. So I want you to open your Bibles and give me the chance to share with you what I've been receiving from God and praying about for the last couple of weeks, because it's something really dear to my heart, and it really got me personally and made me stop a few times and think, what are you doing? This story is in Luke chapter 15. And no, I'm not going to speak about the prodigal son. We're actually starting in verse 25. So Luke 15, 25. You know the beginning of the story. Jesus was telling them about a child who asked his dad for his portion of the inheritance, left, things happened to him, he had a horrible time, and then he came back to the father, and the father accepted him and took him back home. And the story ends right there as we think, or as we preach, but it does not end right there. There is a second part of the story, and this is the part that I want to share with you today. Luke 15:25, it says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.'" Verse 28, "The older brother became angry and refused to go into the father's house, So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered the father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.'" Verse 30, but when this son of yours..." The son's still talking to his dad. "But when this son of yours," not my brother or anything, "but when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' The father replies, 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, was lost and now found.'" It is a powerful and amazing part of this story. And I feel guilty personally because I have spoken and I have read and I have written to Dina or to the kids about that part of the Bible, and I stop right there. Even when I mention the older brother, I have nothing but negative things to say about him for some reason. Okay? And when we, as a church, I believe, or a lot of people who speak, we don't give him enough. We don't talk about him enough, even though he represents a huge portion of our society and our church. Okay? We think that lost means that he's out, he's in a gang, he's doing drugs, or doing this and this and this and this. But we never think of the lost as those who are in church, staying with you and with me, and sometimes doing the same work you and I are doing. And even more. But he is here. He never left the Father's house, but he is completely lost from the Father's heart. He is completely away from the Father's way of thinking. I owe him an apology. I owe him an apology first. I owe him an apology because I called him names like hypocrite. I called him names like there is no hope for you. I called him names like you're a Pharisee. I called him so many names. I called him so many names while the Father himself calls him what? Son. He called him son. He didn't give him any of the names. Jesus once talked to the Pharisees and he says, woe to you Pharisees because you do this and this and this. But that is Jesus, that's not you and me. When you don't have any sins, when I don't have any sins, and when I die for them on the cross, maybe I'll have the right to call them that. But since you haven't, and since I haven't done that yet, we have no right to call them any names. While the Father himself is calling him son, while the Father himself is calling you daughter, I have no right to call you any other name but brother and sister. Even when he said to the Father, this son of yours, the Father came back to him and said, this brother of yours, he's your brother, she's your sister. Even if they're stumbling right now, that doesn't mean that this is their current, this is going to be who they are forever. You know, today I walked to church limping because I played yesterday, but I'm not crippled. Don't be laughing. I played hard, we won, so yeah. But that doesn't mean I'm crippled. You know, I might have a flu, but that doesn't mean I'm dying. He might be struggling right now, but that doesn't mean he is out forever. It is so easy to put that label of no hope on people, while God is our God of hope. He has hope for everyone. I owe him an apology again, because I never mentioned how the Father treated him. The word pleaded is so beautiful. When you look at it, it is so beautiful. It's like, please, let's talk. Let's reason. I don't want you to go away. Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, let's figure it out together. That's the Father's heart. He never said, what? He doesn't want to come in? All right, that's it. Bye. Is that what God does to us? He pleads with you and me, but we never mention that. We are so excited and we're so hyped up because the younger son came back home and let's all celebrate. And the other one, we never mention him, even though God showed him the same kind of love and mercy that he showed the other one. Do you think God, the Father, which one does the Father love more? Exactly. But do we mention God's love for him? No. We feel like this part or this group is done. I owe him another apology because I keep apologizing today. We like the dramatic kind of testimonies. And let's admit it. We like the dramatic, exciting type of testimonies. If we have two people here, you know, Pastor Albert was, you know, I'm not going to pick on you today. Philip, my brother, was involved in some gangs, and, you know, he had some tattoos on his eyes with the tears and everything. And, you know, Pastor Albert was a church boy all of his life, very nice, very sweet, never disrespected anyone, very, 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 very kind to everyone. So they're laughing, not my fault. Okay, so, and if they both come to meet Christ at the same time, okay, both of them, their lives are transformed. I guarantee you, we're going to ask Philip more to share his testimony. Because we feel like this is what people want to hear. This is the kind of, you know, powerful, strong testimony. Even though it's the same. They are loved the same. God works with them in the same. Matter of fact, sometimes it's harder to deal with Pastor Albert. Not, you know what I mean. You know, I'm just talking about my example, not mine. You know, I love you. We owe him an apology because we don't know the end of the story, but we choose to believe that this is the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. The story doesn't end when you and I say it ends. The story ends when God says it ends. It right here in the scripture, it doesn't say how it goes after that, but you know what? I believe that God can change people. I believe that God has more work to do. I believe that God hasn't stopped working. And He's still working till now. He's working in your life and He's working in my life and He's not done. Until the day He comes back, He is not done. This is not the end of your story. This is not the end of my story. Okay? Because today I might be here preaching. Tomorrow I might be falling on my knees, crying and weeping and saying, how did I do this? How did I fall again? But this is not the end of the story. This was not definitely the end of his story. Even if he thinks so. Even if you think so, this is not the end of his story. With that being said, this is just my introduction. So you guys are not going to the park today. We have the truth that we need to speak. We have the responsibility as a church. And we have the love of the Father that we need to offer. And I'm just going to go through them really quick since I took much longer than I thought on my introduction. The truth is, they are both lost. Okay? Let's not label them with anything else, but they're lost. They're just lost. We don't know what the future is going to hold for them. Only God knows. My position, my job for you and me is to reach out to them. Is to call to them. It's to make that call. It's to deliver that message. That's my job. Okay? Both of them are lost. Even though they were lost in different ways, but they actually had shared a very, very, very similar set of beliefs. They both wanted the father's blessings and wanted to spend it away from him. The younger son goes to the father and says, give me my money. Took his money, left. The older brother said, I have been slaving for you and you never gave me anything to do what? To celebrate with my friends. You know, sometimes God holds certain blessings from you and me because He knows what we're going to do with it. He knows exactly where your heart is. Just like the younger son, his heart was to take what he can take from the father and go spend it somewhere else. The older brother was no different. No different. Give me this so I can go and celebrate with my friends. This is why sometimes God holds things from us. God gives so many gifts to all of us. So many gifts. Okay? Gives us talents, gives us skills, gives us so many things. You know, and we take those talents, we take those gifts and choose to do what? Use it somewhere else. Both of them shared that set of belief. Also, both of them were so quick to separate themselves from God. Younger son, once he received his money, it says in no time he took it and left. The older brother came in and he heard that there's something else happening that's not concerning him. So quickly to not come in. One was so quickly to leave, one was so quickly to not come in. Both of them had their hearts set on that. And another thing that they share, both of them, they never had that relationship with their father, that fatherhood relationship. Never. When the younger son came back to his mind and said, I'm going to go back to my father, Okay? He called him father. That's a good thing, good start. But to offer him what? I want to work for you. I want to be one of your servants. I want to be one of your slaves. He didn't say, I want to be one of your sons. I am your son. The other one, it says that he looked at his father and said, I have been slaving myself for you. Habibi, God doesn't want you to enslave yourself for him. He doesn't want you to enslave yourself for him. He just wants that relationship with you. They told you in the world that you have to enslave yourself for a relationship. You have to work for this relationship. You have to do this. And that's you know, okay to an extent. But with God, your relationship with him, it's not based on the kind of work you do for him. It's based on the kind of work he did for you on the cross. Both of them called him master. And some of us still now call God an employer. Call him, I don't know, a mean judge. Call him whatever name you have in God, but that's not the name for him. Just like we label people, we label God with other stuff. And usually the enemy keeps preparing our hearts all of our lives from the second we are born. He keeps feeding into this idea that God is a mean judge. God is a mean father or mean this or mean that. God is this and this and this and this. But he never mentions that he is a loving father. And that's what we need to do as believers. We need to open our eyes that God is a loving father. And that's what he wants from you and me. He wants this relationship. So as I said, both of them shared very, 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 very similar set of beliefs. But this one was a little different. And in that chapter, Luke 15, Jesus gives two parables. One about the lost sheep, right? And the other one about the lost coin. The lost sheep, we see the shepherd going all the way, looking around for that sheep, till he finds him and brings him back home. Okay? Someone who's lost on the outside, outside from the Christian faith, outside from the church, outside from Christianity or whatever. Right? But the second one, the lost coin, we see a woman who lost her coin where? In the house. In her house. The coin is in the house, but it's not with the other coins. It's lost. Even though it's in the house, it's lost. Okay? This is what we're talking about today. We're talking about that lost coin in the house. We're talking about that son who's in the house. Okay? Who is here with us, but he's lost. Okay? Maybe he's under the couch. Maybe he's under somewhere. Maybe some dust got on him. Maybe some spiderwebs got on him. Maybe he's somewhere here. What did she do? She turns on the light. She turns on the light, she sweeps, and looks very, very carefully everywhere until she does what? Until she finds it. So with your permission, we're going to turn on the light today. With your permission, we need to turn on the light. Not to point at the dust and dirt under the couches or under the bed or whatever. No, but to just find it. You know, a lot of times when Dina asks me to clean our room or to help her when we have people over, you know, what I do best is find everything and just put it under the bed. And that's my way of cleaning. But the problem is, if I'm like looking for my shoes or looking for something, I have to go back under the bed to find where I put it. But not that I want to like expose myself on what I did before. No, I'm just trying to find my ship or my shoes. Ship is slippers. When Amujim is a doctor here, when you receive a patient, do you look at him and say, "Look at you, you're sick. You know, you have your blood pressure is so horrible. Get out of here." Is that what you do? I'll never refer anyone to you. Or do you say, "Your blood pressure needs some work, and here's what we're gonna do." Okay. So when we talk about the truth, when we expose the truth, it's not to point fingers. We're not turning the light so we can see how ugly we are, even if it is ugly. But it's not to point fingers at it saying, "This is ugly, this is horrible, there's no hope for you." No, it's saying, "This is what we have, this is what we need to work on." That older son refused to come in. And when we look at his life and when we look at his conversation with the father, when the father is coming to plead with him and happily listening to him. And you see that from his response. His response was never, "How dare you say these things to me?" Or, "How dare you talk to me like that?" No, "I am glad you're saying something. Finally, we're getting somewhere." Amen. You know, he looks at his father and say, "Look," you know, and the father is like, "Glad, go ahead, talk to me. Speak. Tell me what's in your mind, what's really in your heart. I don't want the songs you learned. I don't want the verses that you memorized. I don't want any of that right now. Right now, it's the moment of truth, and that's what I want from you. I want you to speak the truth. I want you to tell me exactly how you feel. You want how I feel? This is how I feel. How I feel today is that, why would you give this party? Why would you accept this son of yours? Why would you accept him back? He did this and this and this and this and this. Why would you accept him back? Well, you missed a good point. The servant told you that your brother is safe and your father is accepting him. Why doesn't that serve as a good thing for you? Why are you rejecting the good news that you're receiving today? There is good news that you're receiving today by the father receiving the younger brother who did this and this and this and this and this and did all these horrible things. The father is still receiving him. Why doesn't that serve as good news for you? Instead of you saying, why are you receiving him? Why don't you say, well, that's a great thing. If he received him, he can receive me. And that's the first thing that we need to learn. Let's turn on the light to that dark part of my heart. Instead of pointing and saying, well, God is doing this for him. God is doing this for him. Well, he can do the same for you. He can work on your life just like he worked on his life. He can change your life just as he changed her life. A lot of times I would sit back and say, I am not Philip. Literally. I am not Philip. He is different. I can never. No, and God is, Habibi, like, let's talk to each other. Let's work on your life. Let's do this. Let's figure it out together. And I'm saying, no, I am not him. I am not this guy. I'm not this guy. There is no hope for me. That's rejecting the good news. There is good news. There is good news that God can work on your life. Just as he worked on his life, her life, he can work on your life as well. Okay? So let's turn on the light on that part. Let's depend on faith. Because son, you've been depending on your work for a long time. And your work is not going to get you anywhere. That work you think is work, that's not going to take you anywhere. That's going to get you a nice paycheck. That's going to get you nice recognitions between the people here around here that just see on the outside. But the inside, that's what I really care about, and that doesn't mean anything. Your balance is still zero. There is a parable that Jesus gave in Luke 18. And listen to this verse. You guys know the parable very well, but in Luke 18, verse 9, it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. This is what the Bible is saying. This is not my note. This is what the Bible is saying in Luke 18, verse 9. To some people, Jesus is talking to them, and he noticed these people who are depending completely on their self-righteousness and looking down on everyone else. Why are they looking down on everyone else? Because they are not evildoers. They're not adulterers, they're not sinners, they're not liars, they are not tax collectors, they fast, they give their tithe, they wear the things they're supposed to wear, they protect, you know, they keep the Sabbath. They do all the religious good things that they're supposed to do. Therefore, they're looking down on everyone else like, who are you? We got this. And then Jesus gives them the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee goes and say, thank you, Lord, because I am not like him. I am not like him. And that's exactly what the older brother said. My brothers and sisters, let's stop pointing the fingers and saying, I am not like him, I'm not like her. Because if you want God's forgiveness, you're going to have to accept that it's for free. You're going to have to accept the fact that you are a sinner and I am a sinner, and there is nothing you can do about it. You're going to have to accept the fact that there is a price that needs to be paid. And you're going to have to accept the fact that you cannot pay the price, but there is good news that someone paid that price for you. And in believing in that someone, you can have that righteousness that you're looking for. But it's not self-righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness. That's what I believe in. That was one of his major problems, that he was depending completely and what he did and what he didn't do. If you look at what you do, and if I look at what I do, I speak for myself, I shouldn't be here. But I am depending today at what he did. Let's look also at how we called the Father, I never disobeyed your orders. Does God give us orders? Is it orders or is it the Word of God? The Word of God is what? Is it like, is it the life, is it how we live, or is it a bunch of orders like, you know, you must do this and you must do this and you must do this, you must do this? I don't believe that God ever gives us orders. I think He gives us His word. I think He gives us His word that feeds us so we can live. I think He gives us His word that guides us so we know what to do. I think He gives us His word for our own good. But I never look at the word of God as it's a set of orders of do and don't do. That was the law back in the days. Okay, and was anyone able to achieve that? What happened to them? The day they received the law was broken. Back in the days, the day they received the law, they disobeyed the law. Okay, God has not given us law. God has not given us orders. God has given us a word, His living word, that He wants you and me to live by. So let's change that from orders to the word of God. Let's look at it differently. Let's look at this Bible when we're reading it, not a bunch of rules that we have to be tested on, you know. It's things that we live by. Okay? If God is telling me, don't do this, He's not telling me, don't do it because He's just interested in giving me orders. He's just because He loves me and He cares for me and He doesn't want me to hurt or harm myself. Because He knows better. He has better plans. And according to those plans, I have to follow His word. Let's change that name from orders to God's word. And how sweet, David says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. If there are orders usually make you freaked out, because if you obey that order, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get punishment. But David is looking at it completely different. He's looking at it as something sweet. You know, when someone comes to offer you ice cream or some basbousa, you know, when someone gives me basbousa, I'm not stressed. I am the happiest person alive, you know. But when my boss gives me orders, I'm stressed, because if I don't get it right, I might be in trouble, right? God doesn't give orders. God gives words. And the word of God says, you know, let's work this together. Okay? I am doing this for your own good. And this is the hard part that we're coming to. Let's stop judging one another. The first thing he told, one of the first things, your son did this and this and this and this, and I never disobeyed you. Let's stop judging one another for a change. I was listening to a message a few weeks ago, and the preacher said, judging one another, we believe that judging one another is a public affair that we all must participate in. Okay? If there is a judgment on someone, I feel for some reason that it is a must that I participate and say yes. I agree with this. Who are you to judge him or to judge her? Who are we? We don't have the right to judge anyone. I'm sorry, we don't. I know you guys love it. And I used to love it too. I'm still, some parts of me want to do it because it's fun. To point at someone and say, they're wrong or they're horrible. And that makes me feel much better about myself. But I am so sorry to tell you this. You don't have the right to do it. And I don't have the right to do it. Only God, and I'm not Tupac, but only God can judge these people, okay? Only God has the right to, and He's not doing it right now. He's loving them right now. He's offering love to them. He's offering a way to them. So why do I feel like I have to judge them? Trust me, when He does it, He will do it, okay? I know that we try to help God sometimes. I'm like, God, I know that you're very busy loving on these people and someone needs to judge him, so let me get that part of your job. You know, that's not how it works, really. He has time. If he wants to judge someone, he'll do it. Okay? But he doesn't want to right now. He wants to just love them. And hopefully they can come back. And when they come back, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. There's a verse that I was just, I tried to remember it all morning, and I just found it. It's in Romans 8, and it talks about that establish, okay? God can establish someone if He wants to do it, okay? The Bible is saying, who are you to say that they will be established or they will be standing at the end or not? Okay? You don't know the future, but I do. And God's heart is to make them established. God's heart is to make them solid. God's heart is to make them part of His family. We do not have the right to point the finger and say, you're out. We do not have the right to say, you bankrupted your father's living. I'll ask you a question. And I asked this to Elijah and Gracie after we read the story a few times. And both of them got it right. I'm so thankful that they both got it right. When the younger son took the money away, took his money and left, what did he waste? Did he waste his portion of his inheritance? Or did he waste the father's living? Which one is it? What? So is the whole inheritance? I believe he wasted his inheritance. Yes. Yeah. Because he said, give me my portion. Yeah. He gave him his portion. The father didn't bankrupt after that. The father was still rich. The father still had his house. The father still had his servants. The father still had so many things to offer. The father still had a robe to give him. The father still had a ring to put on his finger. The father still had the fattened calf or so many other things. The younger son knew that the father still had a lot of stuff left, and if he goes back home, he will find food, he will find a place to live, he will find even as a servant, but he will be taken care of because even the servants are eating and they have leftovers. But when the older brother came and talked to his father, he said, he wasted all of your livelihood, or, you know, he wasted all of your property. It wasn't all. The younger son did not bankrupt God. He did not bankrupt the father. The father is still rich. The father is still very rich. The same amount of mercy that you received yesterday and you blew it, you know what? There is more tomorrow. There is more tomorrow. And we cannot outrun God's mercy. You can hear that day and night from the enemy. It does not happen. His mercies are new every single day. And as long as we are breathing, there is a new chance for you and for me. Okay? I look at him and say, he wasted. There is no mercy for you. Not you. But there is no mercy left for you. That's what he meant. There is no mercy for you. But God is saying, I have so much mercy left. I have so much grace left. It is so big that you cannot understand it. My love for you is so huge that you cannot with your mind understand it. It is so big. Don't worry. And that same love is extended to the other brother too. There is so much, so much left that we can take from the Father. The last thing about that we need to turn the light on is we compare each other to one another, not to the Father. Okay? The first thing he did is, in his conversation with the Father, your son did this and I didn't do this. Or he did this and I did this. He compared himself to who? To the brother, not to the father. When we look and you want to really evaluate yourself and see how well you're doing, don't look at your brother. Look at the father. Because at the end of the day, whose picture we want to see when we look at the mirror? Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
So I don't want to see Philip in the mirror. He's my brother and I love him to death. But I don't want to see Philip. I want to see Jesus in the mirror. And you don't want to see Philip either, right? We want to see Jesus in the mirror. So if I want to see Jesus, I got to look more and more and more like who? Like Jesus, not like my brother. So with that being said about the son, how much do I have left?
Good.
All right. He said I'm good. We have a responsibility as a church. Can we go through that really quick? We have a responsibility as a church to invite people to God, not to church. Does that make sense? We need to invite people to God, not to church. Because when they come to church and not to God, we are running through that problem.
Yeah.
Our focus is to bring people to God, not to have them feel a seat. That's our responsibility. God looks at the people and say, so they're supposed to be His people. He says, they're worshiping me with their lips, but their heart is far, far away from you. Let's not look at the work, because the work could be very deceiving. Let's be patient. Not every testimony is going to be a Paul testimony. You know, Paul, that's the man. You know, going, you know, from persecuting, killing Christians, God meets him. He has this amazing testimony. The second day, it's Paul. You know, it's Paul writing half of the Bible. Okay? There are some Peters among us that take about 3 years. It takes maybe a little bit longer. They go strong and then they fall again. But that's okay. That's okay. At the same, after he denied Jesus, what did Jesus call him? That was one of the most beautiful things ever heard. Okay? That you said 2 weeks ago. When he said, he called him Peter. He didn't go back to his old name, you know, a few from back in the days. No, you're still Peter. And you did your best. And you did your best. See, when we treat one another the same way Jesus treated us, it makes me feel like even if I'm stumbling right now, I can talk to someone. I can be okay. And I can be honest with the church, feeling like they're not going to judge me and calling me a hypocrite. If we accept that fact that sometimes it takes some of us a little bit longer than the others, if we accept and believe that God's still working in my life, and when God is working in her life, God is working in his life, if we accept that fact and we understand God's wisdom and timing, I think a lot more people will come forward asking for that change instead of hiding the mistakes that they have. Not every testimony is a Paul testimony. Not everyone. Okay? It takes courage. It takes courage from us as a church to address it, because we might offend someone. And if I offended you today, take it with God. So, it takes courage to address it, because we might lose some valid and valuable members. When that rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, amazing looking guy. Maybe it's the same guy. I don't know. Amazing guy. I mean, he has it all. He got a great position. He's rich. He's very polite. He's very nice. He's coming to address Jesus the right way. I mean, you name it. The guy was legit. Really, he was amazing. Right? And Jesus goes right to the heart. He's like, Habibi, okay, you have it all. And I love that about you. It's great. It's amazing. But there is an area right there that we need to address. It takes courage. And church, if we are not worried about offending people, not offending them like, you know, offending them, but if we're worried more about their, you know, if we're worried more about their well-being, spiritual being, than offending them, that's what we need to do. Amujime, I'm going to use you again. When you have a patient, do you hide that he has cancer? Like, I don't want to tell him he has cancer. Just go and you can die. You know, he has to tell him, right? It's honestly, it's only honesty. They take an oath or something. You know, do you have to tell your patient? We as a church, we have to tell one another what's going on. But when we tell one another, I'm not going to come to the church and say, so I was talking to Philip yesterday, and I noticed that he's doing this and this, and I noticed that he needs help in these areas. That's not talk. That's not courage, wisdom, or anything. No, that's talking to my brother as my brothers talk to me all the time, just one-on-one. It's not a community affair. You know, it's something we can do one-on-one. And then I'm gonna close with this. I'm gonna close with the Father's love. Because nothing is better to close. The Father came out and pleaded on him. And let me tell you something. If you're around that Father's house, you're going to get something. You might think he's too busy celebrating.
You might think he's too busy blessing Albert. You might think that he's too busy working in China and Sudan and Africa and all these places. He is never, ever, ever too busy for you. You're here, you're going to have a meeting with him. You're here, he is coming after you. Even if you're angry with him, even if you're upset with him, even if you do not want to come in, he is coming after you. You want evidence? Today is the evidence. He is coming after you. Last week was the evidence. He's coming after you. That message or that verse that you received, he's coming after you. He is not going to let you go. You are around his house and no one leaves his house empty-handed.
Amen.
Even if you don't want to come in. Even if you're feeling like you're fed up with him, he still has something for you. The Father's house, that's his area. That's his spot. That's what he's good at. That's what he does best. He changes people's lives. He changes those who reject him the most are those who will love him the most. You know, so it's not too far. You're not too far from the area. You're very close. You're right there. You're right there. Called him son. Not like some of us call him different names. He called him son. That does not change. Your action is not going to change how he looks at you. It does not change how he looks at you. You're still his son. You're still his. He loves you. He died for you. He created you. He still has great plans for you. It does not change. You're always with me, but am I always with you? That's the question. He tells his son, you're always with me. I see you. I see how you are. I see where you go. I see what you do. But do you take me? Am I always with you? That's the question. And then, finally, all I have is yours. All of this is yours. Everything I have is yours. The fact that you're not taking, it's not my fault. It's your fault that you're not taking. But it's still here. That robe was back there in the closet. Why didn't you take it? That ring, it's still there. Why didn't you take it before? That fattened cow, it was right there. Why didn't you use it? Everything I have is yours. Everything the Word of God has is ours. He never took anything away from us, unless it will hurt us. But everything else was offered to him, and it's still offering. He's still offering it to him. He's still offering it to you and to me. I know it's been years. I know it's been years, and you're sitting in the same spot, coming Sunday after Sunday, Bible study after Bible study, and there are things that are not changing, things that are not happening. You know what? I promised healing, and that healing is yours. You can take it. I promised that things will be better. It's there. You know, you can take it. I promise to change you. That can happen. I promise to take away all of your sins and iniquity, and that's there. Take it. Take it. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to take something that's offered to you. You know, when someone has dinner for me and they have the dinner on the table, I'm going to eat it. Right? I'm going to eat it with no human regards. Like, I am going to eat that food. Okay? I am not going to go try to make a meal out of our grass or out of our trees. No, there is food. I'm going to eat it. God is offering this to you and to me. Whether you're too far from the church, whether you've been here for 10, 15, 20, 100 years, it is there. Take it. Take it. I don't know what else I can say or what else the Father can tell him, but take it. Take what's yours that I'm offering you. Take it.
Amen.
I am giving promises. Take it. I'm giving peace. Take it. I'm giving joy. Take it. All of that is offered. You just take it. Why wasn't he taking it? Why wasn't he taking it? Why did he stay all these years hungry when the food was on the table? Why did he stay all these years naked while the robe was in the closet? Why did he stayed all these years acting like a slave or a servant while the ring of authority is right there? Why did he do it? Well, I'm done talking about him. But I want to talk to us today. I want to talk to us now. Why aren't we taking it? And this is something we should all take with God right now. If we just close our eyes and bow our heads and see why, what is stopping us from taking it? Is it that we think our work is good enough? Is it that we're rejecting the good news? Is it that we don't have that? We never experienced that feeling of God being a real and true Father to us? Is it that we have a misunderstanding of Him? I don't know what it is. But there is something tying our hands. And the Bible said that truth shall set you free. If there is bondage that's tying your hands from stretching your arms and grabbing what God is offering you, let's find the truth. Because that truth will set you free. That truth will let you let your hands free and you can grab what God is offering. Son, you've been always with me. You think I haven't noticed you? I have been noticing you. My eyes never, ever turned away from you. You think I didn't notice your work? You think I didn't notice that you really want it so bad that you want to have a relationship with me? I am noticing that. I know that you've been trying. I know that you tried many times and you fell and you got up again and you fell and you got up again. I know that you've been trying. And I appreciate that, and I'm telling you that you are still my son. I'm telling you that all the music and the dancing and the celebration, all of this could happen, would be even much better, will double if you are inside the house. There are too many blessings, too many blessings that you cannot outrun, that you cannot outuse. My mercy is still the same. From the day you were born till now, still the same. Don't think that all of the sins you've accumulated all of your life are now too big or too huge for me. I have carried it all on the cross, and now you're free. God is pleading with you and with me today. He's pleading to kick out every weakness. He's pleading to kick out every misunderstanding that we have about Him. He's pleading with us. Tell Him. Tell Him whatever it is on your heart. Whatever it is. If you want to be angry, go ahead. Be angry. Just say something. Say something real. Say what you feel. He's not interested in the verses that you memorized from Sunday school. He's interested in listening to your heart. Because He wants the truth. Because He doesn't know anything but the truth. As a church, we have a role to play. Our mission isn't just to reach out to those who are out of the church. Our mission is to reach everyone. Even those who have been here for years and years and we feel like it's not happening, it's not changing. There's something wrong. No, there isn't. There isn't. For to you and to me, it isn't. Just do our job. Our job is to plant. Our job is to love. Our job is to believe. Even if they can't believe, we need to help them believe. A man was crippled, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. Four of his friends carried him and brought him to Jesus, made a hole in the ceiling to bring him to Jesus. If you have a brother or sister that you know about that are crippled, carry them to Jesus. Carry them to God. It doesn't matter how long the distance will be, just carry them. Do your part.